The Swain Event Podcast is driven by Beatty Chevrolet. For your new and pre-owned vehicle shopping needs, visit BeattyChevrolet.com.
Beatty Chevrolet saves you money. 2.9% APR or $5,000 total value on new Silverado 1500s. New Equinox with 1.9% APR plus no payments for 90 days or $2,500 total cash allowance at Beatty Chevrolet.
You're listening to The Swain Event.
You don't say!
Fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Yeah!
Swain touchdown.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's time for the Swain Event with your host, Jason Swain.
My man.
Real sports talk for the real sports fan.
All you chumps are going to bow when I whoop him.
It's time for the Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.
Get into his mouth and a Ric Flair.
Swain Event and SwainEvent.com, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. Jason Swain here with you, live from the Lowe T Center Studio. My good friend, my little bro, my big bro, Ben McKee, Go Balls 247. It is a beautiful Thursday, Ben. It is March Madness, and it's a good day to have a good day, man. Good to see you.
It is a good day to have a good day. Every day is a good day to have a good day, but especially on this Thursday. I know you appreciate that. I know you have that mindset. I know that's your go-to. I'm doing well. I hope you're doing as well.
Yeah, man. I'm good, dude. I watched both games last night, SEC tournament. I got Ron Slay. Did a great job, as always, representing. So I had to support my guy and had to watch four teams trying to extend their season the best way they possibly could. And the first game was Vanderbilt and Arkansas, and man, that was a really good basketball game.
Who?
Vanderbilt. You know, I was just gonna give them a little bit of a break. They got some tough decisions to make right now about what they're gonna do with Jerry Stackhouse. Even though I don't know how you gonna get a better coach than Jerry Stackhouse with how NCAA college athletics is, the track record of Vanderbilt. I don't know how it's going to get much better, but I understand saying, you know what? We can't let it get worse. We got to do something. We can't allow this program to continue to lose and lose and lose. And I get it. I think Jerry Stackhouse is a good basketball coach. I just don't think it's a really good fit for Vanderbilt. So
I think he's a good X's and O's coach, and I think he would be the perfect G League coach, but part of being a good coach at the college level is handling things that don't necessarily pertain to basketball. And he has been miserable at handing his duties away from game day. Outside of the 40 minutes on game day, it's been atrocious, quite frankly, in terms of recruiting efforts, managing a roster, everything that goes into running a college basketball program. He's a good coach. He's not a good CEO. He's a terrible CEO, quite frankly, when it comes to managing a basketball program. If all he had to do was coach, then he'd be perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Because he, as Rick Barnes loves to say, he runs great stuff. That's Rick's go-to line. He really does. I mean, you've seen it over the years. I mean, just when you think that they're going to lose by 50, they pull one out of their rear end, and they're always playing their best basketball at the end of the year. But because of the poor roster construction and horrific roster management and just lack of effort on the recruiting trail, quite frankly, he finds himself snake bitten every single season. So I'm with you on the X's and O's part, but he's been atrocious everywhere else in terms of running a program And he may run good stuff, but it's time for a change over there on West End because it's awful. They're worse off with him than they were with Bryce Drew. And I'm not quite sure how that's
They didn't win possible. A game with Bryce Drew in the SEC. They went 0-4, didn't they?
Yeah, one season.
Yeah. Can't get worse than that.
No, touche. But, I mean, that Bryce Drew had some other season. I don't want to make them seem like they were good seasons.
They both, Jerry Stackhouse, Bryce Drew, both failed at Vanderbilt. And get in line because a lot of coaches fell at Vanderbilt. Not all of them, but a lot of them fell at Vanderbilt. And I don't see how any coach is going to be successful at Vanderbilt with the current climate and college athletics. So they can make a change. I get it. I think Stackhouse will be okay. You can't bring Stack back with how the season, last two seasons have been. Totally get it. But they were playing for something yesterday, and that was a really, really good basketball game. I don't care if it's – I called it the – yesterday during Josh and Swain, I called it the bum bracket, the two games last night. It's where –
It's not very nice.
That's something you would say, Ben.
That's not very nice, Swain. That is very disrespectful.
So why you laughing? Why are you smiling?
Because it's funny and true. I mean, those teams yesterday, man, they're eyesores. Now, they're better than I do think kind of the storyline last night was that it's the best Wednesday of the SEC tournament in quite some time, maybe ever.
That second game? I don't know, man. That second game was it was rough at the beginning. Woo!
It wasn't as good as the first game for sure. But in terms of like the fan attendance, I mean, it was a program record event record last night for fan attendance. Everybody there was saying the lower bowl was full. All sorts of different fans. It's really cool to see how SEC basketball has grown in such a short amount of time. It used to be Kentucky and then everybody else. And everybody else depended on who was having a good year that season. And now it's fans travel to watch the SEC tournament kind of regardless of how good or bad their team is and whether their team has a chance to win or not. So I thought that was really cool. Obviously football is football, and I think all of us love college athletics because of what SEC football is. But I do think there's a good chunk of us who also really, really have a passion for the basketballs and baseballs of the SEC as well. And it's been really cool to see basketball grow at the same time.
Mississippi State LSU today. You get Arkansas, South Carolina. You get Ole Miss, Texas A&M. And then you get Georgia and Florida. And, boy, that Georgia-Missouri game, whew, it was tough to watch the first half. But it's basketball. Things can change. Things can get going. And that happened for the viewers in the second half. Missouri started making some shots. They went on the surge at the end of the first half. And then Georgia was able to make some threes. Blue Kane was in his bag, had a good shooting night, and they got the win. So the Tennessee boys are in Nashville waiting to see what happens between Mississippi State and LSU. Is it a foregone conclusion that LSU will be the best opponent for Tennessee?
I mean, I don't know that it's a foregone conclusion, but I certainly believe that. LSU's been playing some good basketball down the stretch and really had taken steps forward under Matt McMahon. I just don't think that they have the talent that Mississippi State does, but I do think that this is a better version of LSU than the LSU that came to Knoxville a couple of months ago. I think they got better over the course of conference play, but So I don't know if it's a foregone conclusion. I don't think it's that obvious, but I do think that LSU is the opponent that Tennessee would rather see But yeah, I think you could also take the approach of wanting to play Mississippi State, so Jonas Adu and Tobey Awaka can deal with Tolu Smith, and I think that would be a nice building block for Tennessee's post going into the NCAA tournament. A
little payback, huh?
Well, not yes, but I was more so just thinking so that they can simply get some work in the post and prepare for a big man, because they've
been doing it all season. They've been preparing all season, playing big man all season.
But they haven't been winning all season. So until you start to win every single matchup, I think you need to continue to work at it.
Okay. Excuse me, because no team in the country has won every matchup, but I do get what you're saying.
They haven't even won the majority of those matchups with the big-time post players across the country.
They beat Auburn.
Okay, congratulations. Again, I said they didn't win most of them. I didn't say they were winless. I said the opposing big men who are viewed along the likes of Tolu Smith and others, they got Tennessee's number. So I'd like to see Jonas and Tobey continue to get work in that area. Again, anybody listening should know that I'm a big Jonas Adu and Tobey Awaka fan. I'm not saying that they're bad or anything like that. Jonas Adu was all SEC and should have been all SEC because he was terrific this season. And I've been talking the last couple of days or weeks about how Tobey Awaka appears to have turned a corner and how he's going to be a big help for Tennessee in the NCAA tournament. But I would still like to see them continue to get work against legitimate big men that can continue to help prepare them for the NCAA tournament rather than playing an LSU team who it'll be a cakewalk for them. I'd rather see them get tested. It's kind of like what you always say about SEC football scheduling. You would rather see Tennessee get a little tested early on before conference play so you have some correctable film to deal with rather than just going off the film of beating somebody 70 to nothing.
I want Tennessee to beat down LSU and let's rest some dudes because you're going to be playing back-to-back three games in a row if you're going to win the tournament. And then you got to go to the NCAA tournament, even though you'll have a nice four-day rest. Hopefully you're not traveling a long distance and getting jet lag or anything like that. But there's opportunities to rest, but I want as many opportunities as possible. All right, let's get to the phones, 865-255-03. Good morning. Who do we have with us? Turkey Man, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hey, I ain't going to stay on the phone long. I'm just going to ask one question. I guess it's the question in the room. What about Mr. Smith going to Washington?
Mr. Smith?
That's an old movie, Jimmy Stewart movie. Mr. Smith going to Washington. I was talking about Saban going to Washington.
Nick Saban. Oh, okay. We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Yeah, there's a movie. There's a movie. Mr. Smith going to Washington. Old Jimmy Stewart's an old movie, and so I thought about that when Saban went to Washington. So yeah, I kind of spoke, I think, out of your league on that one, but
yep,
I do out of my league. I think. Yeah, I think I talk over your head a little bit. Yeah,
definitely so. All right, we'll get to that. Guys. Thank you.
I see that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. I know that's a pretty hot button topic. We'll get to that. Oh boy, the Nick Saban talk, man. Whew. Like the internet up, got social media buzzing. So we'll definitely get to. Nick Saban, I hope that you have your opinions on Nick Saban's comments. I just hope you do, Ben. Hope you're ready, because the time is now here. The time is now here after we get back from break. After we get back from break. So we'll definitely touch on that. 865-255-03 is our telephone number. Coming up, like Turkey Band said, Mr. Smith was in Washington.
Gotta add that R in there.
Turkey Man and Xavier Leggett sound alike this morning. We'll talk about Nick Saban's comments coming up here on the Swain Event. Stay with us. 865-255-03. Ben McKee, Go Vols 247. I'm Jason Swain. Stay with us.
When you are craving some quality barbecue, there's only one place to go, Dead End Barbecue. Dead End Barbecue has been featured on ESPN's Taste of the Town, the first barbecue restaurant on the SEC Network, CBS Sports, Headline News Tailgate Show, Amazon Prime's The Restaurant Comeback, Food Paradise, and named one of the top 100 barbecue restaurants in America. The search is over. Dead End Barbecue is located on 3621 Sutherland Avenue right here in Knoxville. You can even have it delivered right to your door through Chow Now. Visit their website at deadendbbq.com. Dead End Barbecue. The search is over.
Hey, Vol Nation. This is Charlie Pratt, financial representative with Modern Woodmen and MWA Financial Services. Modern Woodmen has been touching lives and securing futures for 140 years. Being born and raised here in East Tennessee, I'm honored to help East Tennesseans in all phases of life with retirement planning, investments, and life insurance. A big win on Saturday starts with preparation early in the week. A secure financial future starts with planning today. Contact my office today at 865-919-6468 to review your financial plan and make sure you are on track for success. As always, go Vols.
Registered representative and investment advisor, representative offering securities and advisory services through NWA Financial Services, Inc., a wholly owned subsidiary of Modern Woodmen of America, member of FINRA, SIPC.
Good morning, Swain Event fam. America's College Sports Town has everything you could want in a lifestyle. You want a cottage home in town or a downtown condo, or maybe you're looking for a home with a pool or a lake property. Well, whatever you want, the Knoxville area has it, and I'm ready to assist when it's time to find what you're looking for. So give me a call, Jennifer Morris, 865-694-5904, or email me at jennifermorris865@gmail.com, and check out my website at nextmovesmokymountains.com. Go Vols!
Baby Chevrolet saves you money. 2.9% APR or $5,000 total value on new Silverado 1500s. New Equinox with 1.9% APR plus no payments for 90 days or $2,500 total cash allowance at Baby Chevrolet.
Just because you can't call in doesn't mean that you have to sit on the sideline. Impact the show with a text box. It's part of the free Swain Event app.
Jason Swain here with you. Ben McKee, Go Vols 247. Ben looking like he's in timeout. Are you okay, Ben? You didn't get in trouble or anything, did you?
No, this thing happened. It's called moving into a new home and being busy and being unable to set things up yet.
You know, excuses are like buttholes. Everyone has one and they stink.
Is that why you're an excuse?
Yeah, I am. I have one. Just a big excuse. Emotions. Very, very powerful thing here. Very powerful. There's a lot of folks speaking with emotions here in response to Nick Saban's comments when he spoke in a roundtable discussion with a group of U.S. senators Tuesday at Capitol Hill. I think it's important to point out what Nick Saban said about the state, the current climate of college athletics is true. He's not wrong about what the issues are, the dangers are, where we're going. I agree with him. Nick Saban is arguably the best college coach in history. He's a phenomenal leader. He's a winner. He's a champion. No one has been able to adapt, succeed the way Nick Saban has been able to, in my opinion. He is, he's a standard. Yeah, man, dude's a standard. I don't really care what team you play for, man. I'm a fan of greatness. There's principles that champions follow and live by that I try to take and apply it to, you know, my life, whether it's business or not. So I don't look at Nick Saban and go, oh, well, he coaches Alabama. I'm not listening to anything he has to say. No, I listen to Nick Saban. Nick Saban has brought Kobe Bryant to talk to his team. Like, that's greatness right there. It just stunk that he was Tennessee's biggest rival. Now, with that being said, Nick Saban says, all the things that I believed in for all these years, 50 years of coaching, no longer exist in college athletics. It was always about developing players. It was always about helping people be more successful in life. And no one has helped players get in the NFL more than Nick Saban. And that's why I got a lot of respect for him. That's the reason I've always liked college athletics more than the NFL, because you had the opportunity to develop young people. I'm all for student athletes being able to share in some of this revenue. I think the number one solution to all this is we can have some type of revenue sharing proposition that didn't make student athletes employees. He also have an issue with all the player wants is money. Like, that's the first topic of conversations when he talked to recruits or his wife talked to the mothers and parents of recruits. And y'all, he ain't wrong. Nick Saban has never said that he's not for NIL, that he's not for players getting paid. He's never said that. What he is saying is what every college coach has had an issue with. It's just that Nick Saban has the cachet and the credibility and the voice to be able to speak on these things more now that he's not coaching. But here's the issue, though, with a lot of fans. They see Nick Saban as someone that before NIL benefited from being the hammer, not the nail, being the head coach that coached a program that was one of the haves. That somehow, some way, was able to reel off top recruiting classes year after year after year. And let's just be honest here, folks. No one follows the rules. Like, no one follows the rules here. There has been countless things to point to and be like, yo, look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. We have seen, especially Tennessee fans, coaches come from Tuscaloosa, get up here, and I guess they just decided, for the first time in their career, Ben McKee, they was going to bend the rules. Because where they came from, they learned how to do everything the right way and recruit top classes on the up and up. But they got to Tennessee. You say, you know what? We're going to reinvent the wheel. Because what I learned at the previous stop was recruiting number one classes, following every rule, not doing anything wrong. But I'm going to get to Tennessee, and I'm going to do something different than the greatest coach of all time, what he did. And guess what happened when those coaches decide to do that, they got in trouble. And so let's be grown-ups here and understand that no one followed the rules. Some were more sloppy than others. Some was more buttoned up than others. But the fans are looking at Nick Saban going, yo, man, really? Like, Ben, like, really? What you need, and you're not going to get, is Nick to be like, yo, man, this. And I wish, like, the Senators would have asked him, so, were players getting paid at your program before NIL? Like, I wish he was asked that question. I wish he was asked. And I wish everybody would just come on and say it. Yes. Because it don't really matter anymore. Reggie Bush needs to get his Heisman Trophy back. Jerome Pruitt needs to be allowed to coach. Donnie Tindall needs to be allowed to coach. Like, everybody just come on and coach. Get your records, whatever. It don't matter. It's like when you have a drug dealer. I hate to use this example, but it is what it is. Say you have a drug dealer, and he was responsible for putting drugs on the street. And now he wants to turn a new leaf. Well, it just means a little bit more when you know that he used to be a drug dealer. He wants to clean up everything. People, I think, kind of want to know and have admission that what was going on before by certain coaches or at certain programs. The reason why Nick Saban's getting so much crap from people, because what he's saying is not wrong, Ben. Like, everything he's saying is right of the issues. But people are so resistant to him and his words because they have a in their mind that ain't no way in hell you was recruiting at that level, not cheating at the time. Now, I never really cared because I hate the player, not the game. They just did a really good job. And I was glad the players were getting money. Above board, under board, whatever. I didn't care. But everything Nick Saban said about the issues in college athletics is 100% right.
Yeah, I completely agree. I found myself agreeing with Nick Saban and what he was saying for the most part. My issue with Saban, and you touched on this, is it's just the hypocrisy of it all. And I don't understand why people, and it seems like older people, and I think we all have that one person who is older than us in our life. Maybe it's like an uncle or a real close family friend, mm-hmm. Who's in their late 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, that retirement phase of life. And they just had the answers to everything. They had the absolute answer to all the world's problems. And you know absolutely nothing. They know everything. You have a conversation. They dominate the conversation because they know everything. They think that they are teaching you everything, but they're not really having a conversation. It's more them sharing their opinion and forcing their opinion. We all have that person, I think, in our life who just thinks that because you are younger than them, you don't know anything. And to me, that's what this feels like. Like, Nick Saban is older. He's been doing this forever, and he's been making money. He's been making advancements in his career. He's been taking advantage of his skill set, his abilities, and making the most out of it. And the point that I'm getting to is I don't understand why so many people around that age I have such an issue with young people making money.
I don't understand.
I don't. What's that?
I don't understand.
He made the little comment about how Miss Terry said, like, why are we still doing this? All these kids care about is money.
Okay, I got you. So, like, the issue is that's all they care about. Like, that's what they're leading with. Like,
That's
all about the money.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is again, like I said, I agreed with Nick Saban and his thoughts on college football and the issues there. But for him and others of his age and in life, in the same stage as life, they have an issue with these young people getting paid to the extent that they are. They want to put restrictions on it, and I understand that within the realms of like keeping the sport clean, I guess, or making sure that kids are still going to school to get educated and, you know, playing it for the right reason, because now kids are jumping from the second school to the third school to the fourth school and not really doing it for the right reasons. But there's still an issue. Like, don't make it about that's all the kids care about. Is it a big issue right now? Yes, absolutely. Our kids are I think it would be safe to say, Swain, most recruits up front are asking about NIL opportunities rather than other things. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah.
Like kids are absolutely asking about NIL and NIL only. And that is an issue, but don't be hypocritical and act as if you haven't kind of gone about your career in the same manner. Like, you have made advancements in your career because of financial gains that you can make off of your ability. And 18 to 22 year olds, yes, that is young in life, and there's a lot of responsibility that comes with giving kind of the money that we're talking about to that age, but they still have the right to go earn and make that money. So don't be hypocritical with that process along the way is my only thing. Again, I agreed with most of what Nick Saban said. I just didn't appreciate the hypocritical vibes that he was putting off and saying that it's all every single recruit cares about, because I do think that the majority of them do, and that is an issue, but I don't think it's 100% the issue like it seemed like Saban was trying to insinuate.
Well, that's why Nick Saban needs to be more transparent. I didn't get the hypocritical vibes from him, because I understand the context that he's trying to lay out. Money has always been important. When it was the NIL and it was illegal to pay for play, you can get away with giving an athlete $50,000 or $100,000. And the prices was low. And it was under the table. And no one knew about it. So you didn't have other players on your team knowing what you made. You didn't have everyone knowing and counting your pockets. And so it made it easier when you are recruiting a young man and you're bringing up playing time and style of play and development and competing for a championship and location. Like, these are all the things that you probably lead with. And then at the end, to seal the deal, you talk dollar amounts, but you're not talking dollar amounts with the athlete. Those conversations are going on with, like, maybe a family member, one person. Now, players leading with that. They coming in like, yo, coach, this is what I'm going to need. Before those other conversations. And then you got a player on a team last year that was trying to get a new deal right before a football game that was threatening to not play. So, like, I didn't look at it as him being hypocritical, but I do feel like it's important for him, because you got people looking at him sideways. Let's go ahead and be transparent. Let's go ahead and be all the way transparent about pre-NIL and post-NIL. he's not going to do that because this man has a legacy as the best college coach ever. And that might tarnish the legacy in some people's eyes. In mine, it won't, because cheating has been going on since the beginning of college football. Like, it's been going on. People have been getting paid to go to school. It has happened. And so it wouldn't tarnish his legacy in my eyes. But, like, if we're going to come out here and try to fix the issues, let's go ahead and be transparent. That's why when I saw Nick Saban's quote, I quote tweeted and just said Nick. Because what he's saying I think is right, but he ain't saying enough. He ain't being transparent enough. That's how I feel. I'm assuming our next phone call is wanting to talk about the topic with Nick Saban. So, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up?
What's up, man? Y'all got me triggered this morning, boy.
Trigger for
all right, so, just because we talked about this when it first started, and now we revisiting this conversation. And if y'all remember, this is when I think I had my hip injury, my first surgery. I think we was talking about this when the NIL started.
Okay.
And the topic, just to refresh y'all memories, the topic was us talking about, you know what I'm saying, the kids not coming from home, you know what I'm saying, not coming from money, coming from single, most of these kids coming from single homes, coming from, you know what I'm saying, situation where their money wasn't right. And how I thought, yes, these kids do deserve the money, but something has to be put in place. Now, we talked about this almost 3.5 years ago, too. When did it start? When did NIL start? About 3.5 years ago?
Something like that? Yeah.
It's about right. About 3.5 years ago, this was the topic where everybody was excited, this and that, and the third. My thought process first, you know what I'm saying? I'm in the trenches in the small area where kids are getting recruited, but they're not as, you know, in the Georgia's getting recruited and stuff like that. But just being in the trenches in a small way and just kind of paying attention to the world around me, my worries were these kids coming from nothing, parents basically coming from nothing, and you got people offering them money, you got handlers out here handling these kids, and you know what I'm saying, and I just knew this would be an issue, like, down the road, like, we talked about it, you know what I'm saying, like, it was a deep conversation, and these were my worries. And the other thing with Nick Saban, you know what I'm saying, that's, it's crazy when you get older, you start realizing things, and then, you know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, things you used to do and you're like, nah, that ain't what's up. You know what I'm saying? It's like buyer's remorse almost. Yeah, Nick Saban was standing on that pedestal, standing on that mountain. And I don't like Alabama more than, you know what I'm saying? I don't like anything in this world. I don't really like, I don't hate much, most things in this world. But Alabama and anything about Alabama, I despise it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But Nick Saban, you just having buyer's remorse. Like, he stood on that mountain, you know what I'm saying, put his feet on people's proverbial throat, as you would say, and now he got to the point where he realizing that he screwed everything over. He destroyed something that was something that was so beautiful.
He played a part in it.
He knows that, but like you said, like, even y'all, I mean, y'all are around and get information that y'all can't bestow on us and, you know what I'm saying, can't give us, like, read between the lines type deal. Like, y'all will tell us something in so many words. And it's been numerous occasions where I've listened to y'all talk about something and people calling and still asking questions. Y'all giving lead up questions to, like, what's really happening. And, you know what I'm saying, then it happens. And it's like, okay, they was telling us about this. But they wasn't coming right out and just saying it because, you know, in certain situations, you just can't do that. In this situation is prime example. Like you said, he can't come right out and be like, yeah, I'm giving them money and this and that. He know how some people think. Most people think that, oh, this and that, and it's going to tarnish his legacy, which it will. You know what I'm saying? To the masses, it's going to tarnish his, you know, his legacy if he come out. Yeah, I was giving them, they was driving them whips and doing all this and that and third, you know what I'm saying? But back to the NIL stuff, man, back then when I was talking about it, I felt like something was need to be put in place. They don't teach our kids about money in school. So they get to their junior, senior year, they teenagers, they want to be stylish and profiling, you know what I'm saying? So the next best person come through with the money to offer these moms, single moms, or parents, I mean, they ain't even got to be single moms, you know what I'm saying? It's just in some cases, you know what I'm saying, that's the kid. That's the kids that are balling out, those kids that, you know what I'm saying, had to grind, had to get it out the mud, you know what I'm saying? So they get to a certain point now where these kids are even transferring high schools, bro. They transfer high schools, not even getting the education that they need. They just being dumbed down. They can't even hold a conversation in certain situations, even talk about certain things. It's just something needs to be put in place in these schools. It needs to start at the crib first. You know what I'm saying? Then good something luck. Needs to be put in place in these. Well, go ahead.
I say good luck.
Right. No, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Things need to be started in the schools, like you were saying, being like, you know, you was talking about some of the school kids going back to school and getting their education, but they're not even teaching these kids about money like that, for real. You know what I'm saying? Like, my wife had to come up with a whole money plan to teach our boys. So it starts there, and then they got the internet, everything at their disposal in their hands like never before, you know what I'm saying? And they see everybody shining, everybody getting this, everybody getting that. So they feel like they, now that it's given to them like that, that they deserve it. They hadn't fought for it. They hadn't, you know what I'm saying? It's like, what can you offer me now? You know what I'm saying? It's a weird dynamic that we in right now. And it really starts at the beginning. Wherever the beginning is, when we all know where it is, it starts at home. But the schools need to be placed and everything needs to be like kind of connected. But it's going to be a long time coming, because you got a lot of people with money that have a lot of power over what's happening around these realms. And it's taken away from the passion and the glory of college football. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I think these kids do deserve money. I think these kids do deserve money. I'm not saying that. They deserve it. They deserve the bread. Like, these colleges are getting so much bread. These kids deserve to be, you know what I'm saying, have some generational help. You know what I'm saying? To help their families not have to, you know what I'm saying, worry about certain things in the future. But there needs to be something put in place to teach these kids and to stop these handlers from handling these damn kids, bro, because this is driving me nuts, bro.
Yeah, that's not going to stop, Tramiel. When you talk about a representative, because that's all a handler is now, is a representative. And, I mean, it's good to hear from you. Representation is a handler. Agent is a handler. That's representation. So that way the young player don't have to do it. You're not going to get schools across the board teaching young people about money. That's not the problem. The problem is, you have young men who all they care about is the bag and don't really care about playing. Like, that's the problem. Like, there's been multiple examples at multiple schools of guys only concerned with the money. And that's cool. Like, you can be about your money. Like, we have to understand, it's not about players being able to get money. Countless coaches and countless people have said, NIL is good. People need to be able to walk and chew bubble gum at the same time and understand it's about young people not caring about getting better, not caring about competing, not caring about practicing, playing. Like, okay, we'll give you the money, but it comes with you producing. They don't want to work for it. They just want the money. And that's created issues, because now they can just hop to another school and play another school for a fool and get another bag and not actually earn it. And that's credit issues. So
to me, that's the biggest issue. Like I don't have a problem with a young man or young woman in her respective sport. I don't have a problem with them asking about NIL off the jump. I don't have a problem with that being the first question. I have a problem when it's the only question.
Yes.
It can't be the only thing that is going on, because look, colleges, especially the schools that we are talking about, the Alabamas, the Tennessees, the Texas A&Ms, we're not talking about Tennessee Martin. We're not talking about Tennessee Chattanooga. We're not talking about Kennesaw State or ETSU. These major universities that are funding athletic teams that are as popular as professional teams, if not more popular. Tennessee's football team is the most popular team in the state of Tennessee. And in the state of Tennessee, there's a professional basketball team, there's a professional hockey team, there's a professional soccer team, and there's a professional football team.
Mm-hmm.
And Tennessee is the most popular of the four. They're probably more popular than all four combined, quite frankly. So we're talking about major, major money here that is being made on the backs of these 18 to 22, 23-year-old kids. And they absolutely deserve a piece of the pie. The money in college athletics has gotten so ridiculous at the top that the athletes absolutely deserve a share. So I don't have a problem with a young man, a young woman asking for their piece of the pie. I get annoyed because in a lot of instances, it's the only question being asked. And that's where I get frustrated, because everything that Nick Saban's talking about, what he's kind of been through in college athletics throughout his career, developing young people, playing for the love and the pride of the school that you're at, those things, they don't matter as much anymore, because there are so many recruits and athletes so dead set on making as much money as quickly as they can, and that's all they care about. And then, like what you're saying, Swain, on top of that, even after the recruitment, after they get their bag, they're not putting in the same work that they're putting in to get the bag.
Yeah, and then they want another bag before actually proving that they deserve another bag. Like, there's no rules, man. That's what I'm saying. Like, no. And that's why Nick Saban is speaking on the behalf of college football. So, like, I'm not against what he's saying. I actually agree. I think every coach in America agrees with Nick Saban.
Yes.
And the issues that coaches are facing. It's why you've had multiple head coaches leave. You had Chip Kelly leave UCLA. You had the Boston College coach leave and go be the defense coordinator at Green Bay. Countless assistant coaches leaving to go to the NFL. Like, there is an issue. So Nick Saban's comments, not wrong. I think people would probably take it better if he was a little transparent about his pre-NIL activities.
That, and people would take it better if his name wasn't Nick Saban. That is also an issue that yeah, people probably are not going to like what Nick Saban is saying, because he is Nick Saban. I mean, that is a good chunk of it as well. And like I realize why we gather around this show every Tuesday and Thursday morning. It's to talk about Tennessee athletics, and all of us in some form or fashion is motivated by a passion for Tennessee. And that's why we huddle around here every Tuesday and Thursday morning. But this is a college issue, college athletics issue, that quite frankly, if it's not resolved, then it's going to affect Tennessee.
It's affecting every school right now.
Exactly. So
you just don't know about it.
The point that I'm getting to, though, is you got to be able to take your Tennessee hat off for a minute. and hear what other people are saying. You can't continue to listen to Nick Saban as the Alabama head coach. You can't continue to listen to this person or that person because they played at your rival or coached at your rival. If there's going to be a solution that is made, if conversations are going to be had to present solutions and result in solutions, you kind of got to be able to set your team pride to the side for a second. And I know fans and media members like you and me aren't making the decisions that are going to help change the sport, but I think there's too much of frustration with who is saying things right now and not enough of listening to the message. You just jump to conclusions and you're going to form your own opinion on what's being said simply because of who the person is and where they've been in the past. Yep. And in order to make progress, that can't continue to happen.
No, I agree with you, man. Yep. If you take the words of Nick Saban and put it to someone else, I think the reaction will be different. 865-255-03. We'll get to the Beta Chevrolet text box when we come back on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.
What's up, Swain Event family? It's great to be on board. This is Taylor Hawkins with Modern Woodmen Fraternal Financial, and I have one question for you. When was the last time you have slowed down and evaluated your financial situation? Just like the Vols, a great game plan leads to victory. Let us help you achieve your financial goals with a custom-made game plan. No matter what stage of life you're in, protecting your family and hard-earned money is important. So let one of our local and trusted financial professionals secure your future by visiting one of our 10 branch offices across Tennessee, or give us a call locally at 865-312-5638. And remember, go Vols!
Registered representative and investment advisor representative offering securities and advisory services through NWA Financial Services, Inc., a wholly owned subsidiary of Modern Woodmen of America, member of FINRA, SIPC.
Here in Knoxville, we love it when a squirrel's in the checkerboards. But when there's a squirrel in our attic, that's all sides. When that happens, call Alpha Wildlife. They're Knoxville's veteran-owned and operated wildlife removal company. When unwanted critters put their feet up on your coffee table, call 865-224-6555. Let the Tennessee fans at Alpha Wildlife evict those unwanted tenants and set your home up with a winning defense to keep that wildlife where it belongs. That's Alpha Wildlife at 865-224-6555. They have locations in Nashville, Memphis, Chattanooga, and in parts of South Carolina. Check them out online at alphawildlife.com.
When you are craving some quality barbecue, there's only one place to go, Dead End Barbecue. Dead End Barbecue has been featured on ESPN's Taste of the Town, the first barbecue restaurant on the SEC Network, CBS Sports, Headline News Tailgate Show, Amazon Prime's The Restaurant Comeback, Food Paradise, and named one of the top 100 barbecue restaurants in America. The search is over. Dead End Barbecue is located on 3621 Sutherland Avenue right here in Knoxville. You can even have it delivered right to your door through Chow Now. Visit their website at deadendbbq.com. Dead End Barbecue. The search is over.
Good morning, Swain Event fam. America's college sports town has everything you could want in a lifestyle. You want a cottage home in town or a downtown condo, or maybe you're looking for a home with a pool or a lake property. Well, whatever you want, the Knoxville area has it, and I'm ready to assist when it's time to find what you're looking for. So give me a call, Jennifer Morris, 865-694-5904, or email me at jennifermorris865@gmail.com, and check out my website at nextmovesmokymountains.com. Go Vols!
The conversation doesn't stop when the show is over. Follow the Swain Event on Twitter and like the show on Facebook.
BetaChevrolet.com, the Beta Chevrolet text box. Let's get to it. If you missed any part of the show, go and check out the Swain Event podcast, wherever you get your podcast. That's brought to you by Beta Chevrolet as well. All right, let's see here. Bro says, our coach seems to have a feel for. Our coach just doesn't talk about it. Now, you've had head coaches complain about NIL over the last couple of months. You've heard from Nick Saban and Lane Kiffin and others. Josh Heupel, I'm sure, shares some of the same concerns and has some of the same obstacles. He just doesn't talk about it. He just goes and handles business. Or tries to deal with it until there's some more solutions. Vaughn Birmingham says the people to blame for all this is the coaches and the NCAA. The coaches kept taking more and more money, bigger and bigger salaries. When they did this, the expectations for the players increased, but the players' compensations didn't increase when all of that was happening. Yes, I agree. There's a lot of people that we can point the blame to. Coaching salaries went up. Players started looking around, and they were looking around for a while. They was looking around before I play, when I play, like, yo, these coaches driving some real nice cars and living in some nice big houses. We out here putting in the work. And then when the coaching salaries went up even more, it was like, hold on now, this ain't gonna cut it. And so it ain't just single moms. It ain't just, you got families, and it don't matter if you already have money. If you know that this is your window to ask for a large sum of money, and the chances are that you're going to get it because schools are so desperate to have players to win, it don't matter if you already making $100,000 a year, $200,000 a year, you're going to ask for more money. What's better than the money you already have? More money.
Like, money on the way.
Yeah, like, who asked for a pay cut?
Well, and I don't think Vaughn Birmingham is wrong in what he said, but I also think that the issue, or maybe the bigger issue, is that the adults in college athletics and in college football specifically kept kicking the can down the road, kept kicking it down the road. And I hope suppress isn't too strong of a word to use, but suppressing the student athlete and just not even giving them the light of day and just not even considering any alternative plan or route to go. And now it's reached a boiling point and it's boiling over. I mean, this is everything that is going on right now is the result of years and years and years of ignoring the inevitable.
Turkey Man asked about Dabo Swinney and Nick Saban. What's the difference of what Saban and Swinney said about NIL? Just going back, kind of looking at what Dabo has said about NIL, which he has said he has no problem with players being able to make money off their name, image, and likeness. He just not for paying dudes a large sum and disguising it as NIL. But let's understand something. Clemson was out here out recruiting Alabama at one point. You didn't beat Alabama in the college football playoff without out recruiting them. So take that for what it's worth. Dabo obviously has not been a big participant in the transfer portal. He's been slow to adapt. That's why his teams have not been good lately.
That's why that program has fallen off.
Yeah, pretty much. And so, I mean, that's him. But I don't think you have a coach who said they are against NIL. I think people are just twisting the words of coaches and the words of people who are saying, hey, man, NIL is good, but like, as soon as they hear but, they're like, oh, no, you hate NIL. Listen, NIL is good, but it is being disguised to pay players to go to school.
Play.
And it has gotten out of hand. Like, yep. Like, it started, and when it started, it wasn't out of hand. but it is now out of hand. It didn't start out of hand two, three years ago. It is now out of hand. And so it's going to continue unless things are fixed. And majority, if not all of fans, don't know what a college coach and program is dealing with as far as roster retention, as far as the numbers that these players are asking for. I have a little bit of an idea, but there's times where I don't even want to know.
Yeah.
Like when people want to tell me, I'm like, I'm good. But I like, it's a mess. It's a hot mess.
And I think fans would feel much different about their own players if they kind of knew. I mean, you alluded to it earlier. If fans knew what players were doing leading up to the bowl game and what they're doing after the bowl game, and I think fans would be stunned by the players who were flirting with other ideas. And I think it would make them feel differently. Not that they would hate the player or anything like that, but I don't know that the fan interest would be as high. I just think fans would be surprised if they knew, even at Tennessee, what's going on the week of the bowl game and after the bowl game. I'm sure Tennessee will have to deal with it a little bit after spring practice when the portal opens back up early in the summer. And Swain, I don't know what a solution is. I really don't. Because it NIL, that's the problem. And you just said this, the problem is NIL is being disguised as pay for play. And I am not smart enough to know what the solution is to that. My quick thought off the dome is that maybe you have to pay these players a salary. And maybe they have to be employees.
Hey, do a salary cap, man. Do a salary cap.
Right. That's exactly what I was thinking in my head when you were talking, is a salary cap, because I don't know how, because if you said, okay, you can pay the player as if they're a professional athlete, well, Ohio State, Tennessee, and Alabama, they're going to be paying their players differently because they have more money than other schools in their own conference. It's not even like a difference in what those schools are paying to the directional schools within their state. There's a difference between what Ohio State can pay and I would assume like a Purdue or somebody like that would be able to pay. So how, A, are they even going to be willing to go down the road of essentially paying these players as employees? And then B, are they going to be, if they were to do that, would they institute a salary cap? Because the salary cap is the only thing that would make it a fair and level playing field, is having that salary cap.
Yeah, I mean, that's the solution right there.
I mean, that's the difference in Major League Baseball and the NFL and the other major sports right now, is like the Pittsburgh Pirates, they can't get up off the mat because they're not willing to spend money like the Yankees or the Dodgers or so many other teams. Whereas in the NFL, there's a salary cap. There's a hard line, and there's not a team like the Yankees or the Dodgers or whoever going so far over to pay players to where it redistributes to everybody else. It makes it for a level playing field. So like you would have the Pittsburgh Pirates of the world in college. You would have, I mean, it's Vanderbilt, let's be honest. But you would have many Vanderbilts. I think you would have more Vanderbilts who just universities not willing to commit that much money to student athletes if you don't have a salary cap, because they're not going to want to go compete with the Ohio States and the oil money in Texas and the University of Tennessee's and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to spend a bunch of money on one player, go for it. But we're going to put all these schools in one group. We're going to break away from the NCAA. Let's go ahead and put a hard cap number on what you're going to spend. And let's go ahead and get these contracts done. And if you don't play, you don't get paid. I mean, let's do that. So,
I don't know what's going to happen. Great for parity too.
It'll be better for parity.
If Ohio State and the schools I continue to mention, if they're having to be selective on who they're taking at a high school, are we going to take the five star running back, or are we going to take the five-star linebacker? And they're having to pick between the two, and then the other one goes elsewhere because they can't pay both. Then, I mean, that five-star running back or five-star linebacker, all of a sudden, I mean, he's maybe going to a school that he traditionally wouldn't go to. Yeah. Because somebody else is making a decision not to pay him. Yeah. And I think there would be more parity in the sport because of that.
44 Vols said this around 8:30 or so. So don't know if he has the same opinion since we've kind of had conversations about this topic. But Vol 44 says Saban talks about players getting money right before he heads back to his million-dollar home. And again, like, I don't understand that line of thinking, because he never said he don't want the players to get money. What he's saying is they don't care about anything else. That's like you going to your job and you do your interview and all you care about is the salary. Nothing about anything else. And when you get the job, you don't really do the best job. You don't put the effort in to do the best job. That's like getting your salary for the year up front and not really caring about the quality of the job. That's an issue. And that's what has been going on at Alabama. It's just started to affect Nick Saban at Alabama. Imagine coaches who don't have the pedigree of Nick Saban, what those coaches are dealing with. So no one is against the players getting paid. Like, I don't know why folks keep trying to put those words in people's mouths who are talking about the issues that we have in front of us. Like, no one has said, man, I don't want players to get paid at all. No one said that. Saban is retired. He's earned his million-dollar home. Why do we think young people should afford these luxuries out of the gate? Jeffro, what's the matter how young you are?
See, that's the point that I was making earlier.
Yeah, Mark Zuckerberg created something at a young age. Is he too young to be a millionaire, billionaire? If you are in an arena that you can capitalize on and you can make money, why does it matter how old you are? I think young people should be able to afford those luxuries if they earned it and they deserve it.
Yeah, they're 18 to 22, not 10. It would be a different conversation if they were 10 to 14-year-old. But they're 18 to 22, that is a young age to deal with a lot of money. There's no debating that. Absolutely no debating that. But just because that is a younger age than you typically see for people to be dealing with that amount of money doesn't mean that they shouldn't have the ability to go earn that money at that age. And you know, Tramiel and I have kind of hit the nail on the head, in my opinion, about the whole we need to educate these young men. And you were right earlier. You said that that's not a problem. It's not a problem as it relates to the current issues of college football and college athletics, but it is a societal issue of...
Well, yeah, that's why you have dudes like Dave Ramsey that is so valuable. Because yes, you can have someone hit the lottery, and if they don't know how to manage their money, they're going to be broke. So it doesn't matter if you're 50 years old or 15 years old or 20 years old or 40 years old. If you don't know about money, you're not going to have it.
Well, of course, but obviously it's more likely that an 18-year-old doesn't know how to manage his money than a 50-year-old.
Okay. Why do we care about the management of a young player's money?
Why should I not care? Because I don't want to see them throw it down the drain. I don't want to see them to waste everything that they've earned.
Okay.
Well, I mean, why can't I care?
You can care, but I'm saying like that's not the biggest issue here.
But I just told you, I said it's not a college athletics issue, but it is a societal issue. Nobody said it was the biggest issue in college athletics. We're just talking about it being a simple issue that is separate aside from college athletics that we would like to see people who have experience dealing with money help educate kids, because I don't feel like we do a good enough job of doing that in high school when people are starting to get jobs and teaching them how to, you know, plan ahead for taxes and just manage money. Like, that is absolutely something that we should be teaching young people. And as a society, we don't. And not everybody is blessed to have people and mentors in their life who point them in the direction of Dave Ramsey, as simple and as easy as it is to get on the internet and search his name. Like, some of these young people don't know about Dave Ramsey coming out, and they don't have people that are going to point them in that direction. So, I mean, nobody said, at least speaking for myself, I never said it was the issue in college athletics, but it is a separate issue aside that, whether it pertains to the subject or not, I think it pertains to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the list, but it's not really high on the list. And this has been an issue that's been talked about for decades, because you've had players go to the NFL, blow their money because they didn't get the education about money when they were in college. And so there's been folks talking about, man, we need to do more, money education. And it doesn't really happen across the landscape of college athletics. So, like, is it an issue? Yeah, but, like, it's an issue in society. It's an issue in college athletics.
Yes.
And you take any young person who, whether they get a bunch of money from football or they open up a business and start making a bunch of money, you're going to learn lessons. Like, you're going to learn lessons about money management. And that's part of life. Like, you learn and then you improve and get better. Terrell says, I don't want a lot of Henry Ruggs situations, not saying that's all of them. I don't know what that has to do with money. Henry Ruggs was stupid for driving drunk. Like, his situation has nothing to do with money. Somebody that's poor can do what Henry Ruggs did, which is drive drunk and end the life of someone else. So, and Nelson says it here. Tremel, what does Henry Ruggs have to do with NIL and money management? Henry Ruggs didn't get in trouble because of a bunch of money. He got in trouble because, and maybe the money thought made him think that he was invincible, but we all were young and didn't have a bunch of money, and there's things that we did because we thought we were invincible, not having a bunch of money. So I don't understand how Henry Ruggs is brought into this conversation here. Nelson saying what a lot of people are thinking. I wish someone else would have made these comments. It's really hard to listen to someone complain about NIL when he's been cheating for years. It's hard for me personally to listen to the message and not the messenger. And that's what you were saying, Ben, before the last break. Like, that's where most people are. They have this thought in their mind that Alabama and Nick Saban did not win not cheating, not breaking the rules pre-NIL. And they don't want to hear from him about the issues with NIL. That's how most people, I think, feel.
Yeah.
And I understand that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then if it would be the same if it were Urban Meyer or Kirby Smart, anybody along those lines. And yes, part of that feeling is because everybody feels like those guys were cheating before cheating became allowed. But also it's because of the passion that I feel drives college athletics and just the natural dislike for other players and coaches at schools that you don't like. I feel like there's a natural dislike and disinterest there to where you're really going to be reluctant to hear what they are saying because they were at your rival school, because they beat you X amount of times, on top of what you are saying about, well, nobody really feels like they did it above the line, above the belt, before cheating became allowed.
Yeah.
Real quick, Swain, even that is a little bit of a ridiculous thought to have, because everybody was cheating. Everybody.
Pretty much. Brian Huntsucker says, I don't want a salary cap. That means Kentucky football has the same money as Tennessee. Well, Kentucky just doesn't value their football like Tennessee values their football. They put their resources in basketball because they got a bunch of money. Stoops just doesn't see it.
But to Hunsucker's point, though, would Kentucky be more willing to spend on football if they know that they don't have to spend as much now to keep up, because all the other teams can't keep up spending wise? And Hunsucker, I feel you. I absolutely do from a Tennessee perspective. But that was also said from a what's best for college football and college athletics perspective. That wasn't said from a what's best for Tennessee perspective, because I think you're right there.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's going to – let me back up. When NIL went live, there were programs that were thriving pre-NIL. And NIL was a threat to them because it evened the playing field more. And they didn't like it. Simple as that. Even though it was good for the athletes, it was bad for their business because they were dominating, doing things the way they've always done things. But I get where Hunsucker is saying. I do. It's kind of like when you decide to vote. Like, whoever you vote for, whatever, you're making a decision on what you think is best for everybody, or you're making a decision on what you think is best for you.
And most people vote on what they feel like is best for them.
Yeah, most people.
We are naturally selfish people.
Yeah. Oh, man. Volstorm says, there's been plausible deniability set up at schools so that way coaches can always say that they didn't know, that they didn't cheat or didn't cheat. But again, like, we all know, like, we all know it don't matter. Like, no one cares about what happened pre-NIL. People knew. You know when people started to know, when fans were like, man, come on, man, we got to cheat better. When you start having those conversations, like, man, come on, man, they cheating. We got to cheat better, man. We got to drop these bags off. Come on, I'll drop these bags off. When you have fans start having those conversations, it's pretty normalized at that point. Like, everyone knows that everybody's cheating. Everyone knows. All right, back to basketball.
Thank goodness.
I know, man. I know. 865.
I don't like having grown-up conversations.
865-255-03, Tennessee, either LSU, Mississippi State, tomorrow. Vescovie, got to get going. How confident are you that he will? Tennessee basketball, postseason tournament time. It's here. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.
You're listening to the Swain Event.
And you know this, man.
Here in Knoxville, we love it when a squirrel's in the checkerboards. But when there's a squirrel in our attic, that's all sides. When that happens, call Alpha Wildlife. They're Knoxville's veteran-owned and operated wildlife removal company. When unwanted critters put their feet up on your coffee table, call 865-224-6555. Let the Tennessee fans at Alpha Wildlife evict those unwanted tenants and set your home up with a winning defense to keep that wildlife where it belongs. That's Alpha Wildlife at 865-224-6555. They have locations in Nashville, Memphis, Chattanooga, and in parts of South Carolina. Check them out online at alphawildlife.com.
Fellas, it's a new year. Low T Center can make it a great one. If you've been feeling tired and grumpy, have noticed a lack of motivation and drive, you may have low T. Low testosterone levels can cause weight gain, loss of muscle mass, and so much more. I recommend Low T Center. It's where I get my levels tested. They make it quick and easy to get your levels checked, and it's only $25. And with their on-site lab, you'll get your results back in about 25 minutes. Go to lowtcenter.com now to book your appointment online. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
What's up, Swain Event crew? Always happy to be with my friends in the morning. So, everybody has a next chapter in life, right? And sometimes that includes a move. Your next page may have a growing family, or maybe an empty nest, or possibly a move back home. When the time comes, I'll be here to help. Just give me a call. Jennifer Morris, Keller Williams Realty, 865-694-5904. And check out my website, nextmovesmokymountains.com. As always, go Vols!
Looking for a different way to enjoy the show?
Yes!
Then check out Swain Event TV on YouTube.
Fellas, it's a new year. Low T Center can make it a great one. If you've been feeling tired and grumpy, have noticed a lack of motivation and drive, you may have low T. Low testosterone levels can cause weight gain, loss of muscle mass, and so much more. I recommend Low T Center. It's where I get my levels tested. They make it quick and easy.
Swain Event, SwainEvent.com, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Right now at Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Awesome promotion going on for you homeowners. This month is Happy's Golden Ticket Sweepstakes at Hiller. The way you can take advantage and win is go to the website. That is hillergoldenticket.com. All you have to do is enter your email, and you are automatically entered to win. Prizes include a $5,000 Hiller gift card, a $1,000 Hiller gift card, or one of 10 Happy Hiller Club memberships. Take advantage of zero interest financing for 48 months on select new HVAC systems, or 36 months on tankless water heaters or whole home generators. Do not miss out. Enter to win now. You can do that by going to the website, hillergoldenticket.com, and simply entering your email. Ben McKee, GoVols 247. I'm Jason Swain, live here in the Low T Center studio. I feel like all season long, man, we've said, oh, this player needs to step up. Well, these group of players have to step up. This is what we need to do to feel good about Tennessee having a good shot to go as far as possible. And I think certain games, you don't need everybody to step up. Certain games you can get away with three having a good game. In certain games, you're going to need Vescovy making shots. You're going to need more than 8 to 11 bench points. And I think those two concerns, if you add in free throw shooting, is what could trip Tennessee up. But that's like the only thing. Those are the only things. Tennessee is one of the best teams in the country.
Well, and I was just, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was going to quickly add that what you just said about the whole shooting thing and making shots, that is something that Rick Barnes mentioned yesterday when he met with the media, and it's something that he has mentioned several times over the last couple of years, is that the one thing as a coach this time of year that you hope happens going into a game, that you wish will happen, that if you had three wishes from a genie in a bottle, that you would spend all three on your team making shots. Because contrary to popular belief, Rick Barnes and every basketball coach in the country does not control whether the basketball goes through the rim or not. Coaches don't control whether shots are made.
Wow.
At least within a game. Now, they do to a certain extent because they control who's on the roster, right? And if you recruit good shooters and you develop your players, then their ability to shoot the basketball, then it's more likely that those shots go in. And I think that's been somewhat of a criticism for Rick Barnes prior to this season, is the lack of shooters. And this is a separate tangent, but Lamont Paris absolutely should have been SEC Coach of the Year. Rick Barnes, though, Rick Barnes also should have been in a more serious conversation to be Coach of the Year as well, because I think he deserves a ton of credit for recognizing the issues with his program going into last offseason, and he identified them right away that they needed to become more athletic on the offensive end, and they needed to become a better shooting team. on offense. And he went out and he added Dalton Connect, and he went out and added Jordan Gainey. He addressed those issues quickly, and I thought that's a great mark of a great coach, is recognizing what you need to correct, and he went out and corrected it about as well as you can. We'll see if it pays off in March, but he spoke, to your point, Swain, a million times about how he wishes that he could control whether or not shots go in, but he quite frankly can't at the end of the day. The only thing that a coaching staff can do, or an individual coach can do, is create open shots for his players. And I think the Michigan game a couple of years ago in the NCAA tournament is a perfect example of that, to where the guys just went cold on the floor. The last 6-8 minutes of the game, they couldn't make shots. They were getting open shots. The system, the offense that was being run, it was creating open shots, but the ball just didn't go through the net.
Yep.
And that's the thing that, like you said, that's the thing that worries me most with this team going into March. Yeah. Because I do think that they've shown that they can win any way possible. Any matchup, any style of play. There's obviously styles and matchups that they perform better against, right? Mm-hmm. But in terms of like checking off all the boxes against every potential matchup, they've done that. I can't really think of a style of play that they could potentially run into, Swain, that they haven't this season and haven't been successful against.
Yeah. I think every coach has that worry about their basketball team, that the team is just not making shots. Like, and we've seen Alabama, who at one point was the best offense in the country, shoot it cold. You know, Kentucky didn't always shoot 50% from three in every single game. So, like, I think that's really every coach's concern, being like, your team's not making shots that day. It's one thing to not make shots in the first 8 minutes of a game, or the first 15 minutes of a game, the first half, but not being able to make shots for 40 minutes, it don't matter how good your stuff is, how good your players are, you're going home. I think that's the biggest fear, really, for any coach. But you try to compile as many playmakers and good shooters and a variety of players that can score the basketball in different ways, so that way, if you do have a bad shooting day, you can generate offense in another way. Jeffrey Morris, why does Gainey get so many minutes on the floor? His minutes have went down dramatically in the last couple of games. I mean, you still need players to come off the bench, and can't have the starting five playing the whole entire game. Gainey played 11 minutes against Kentucky.
Well, I think Tennessee needed defense against Kentucky. And I don't think Gainey's a bad defensive player. I think he is a streaky defensive player, because he'll come up with some steals and can be an energizer bunny on that end of the floor. I believe, did he, on that breakaway dunk, when he yammed on that Kentucky player, was that his steal or was that off somebody else's steal? I can't remember off the top of my head.
I want to say it was his.
I think it was as well. I mean, go, if you want to know why Jordan Gainey plays, go back and watch the first half at Alabama.
Well, I was getting ready to say his minutes have decreased more than just Kentucky game. 11 minutes versus Kentucky, 13 minutes versus South Carolina, 14 minutes against Alabama. Did play 21 against Auburn, played 14 minutes against Texas A&M. And so your last five games, four of those games, his minutes were in the teens. There was a stretch from February, the beginning of February, where Tennessee plays Kentucky. 19 minutes there, next game LSU, 26 minutes. Next game, A&M, 22 minutes. 18 minutes versus Arkansas, 20 minutes versus Vandy, Mizzou 25. After that Missouri game, those minutes just changed. So, like, his minutes feel like they've been cut at least by 5 to 6 minutes per game. And the shots haven't been falling enough, I think. I think there are some points where it's a little erratic offensively. And that's why his minutes have decreased. But the bench as a whole, him included, will need to produce some points. And I think it's personally too late to say, you know what, man, let's put Santi in the second group. Maybe that was something you could have done a couple weeks ago to kind of test it out to see if that will, you know, help the second team, help Santi. Because when Santi's out there with Dalton and Z, he's not going to have those shots.
And Jonas. The same, I mean, Santi's the fourth scoring option at best. It really depends on, I guess, if Josiah has it going on.
It's true.
That they are not. Josiah and Santi are 4 and 5. And the Santi conversation is a complicated one because he's still been able to affect the game in a really positive manner outside of shooting the basketball, right? Like he's had a nice season. It just hasn't been by the way that we've typically seen Santi have nice seasons in the past. He's not in an offensive role that we had seen him have over the last couple of years. And I think that is okay. The problem, at least I have a problem, is when he starts passing up on the open looks. That to me is the issue. I'm okay with him no longer taking 10 shots a game. I'm okay with him taking 5 to 7 shots a game and letting Zakai and Jonas and Dalton cook, because I think those three are Tennessee's best three players. You and I have had multiple conversations. This team is going to go as those three go.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that they don't need contributions from Josiah, from Ganey, from Meshack, from Santi. It's when Santi is passing up on open shots and then giving you absolutely nothing everywhere else. Because for the most part, he's done a great job of rebounding the basketball on the offensive glass and on the defensive glass. He's been a pest defensively. He's been terrific defensively for most of this season. He's been great at being a passer, getting assists, making even the hockey assist, the pass before the pass. Like, he's done a great job of making a lot of winning plays that don't necessarily show up on the box score or simply stuffing the box score, even if the points aren't necessarily there. But when he's not giving you anything like he did against Kentucky on Saturday, then that's when it becomes an issue with him not shooting the basketball like he has in the past. And he just can't pass on the open looks. And at this point, Swain, I don't know how that's going to change.
It's going to change.
Will it?
I think it will.
I mean, if he hasn't done it all season.
Directly told him, yo, you can't pass up open shots.
Like, well, he's been telling them that all year.
Well, it's postseason time. You lost to Kentucky. You can't let that happen again. So I think Santi, it ain't about Santi passing up open shots. It's airballing open shots. Like, not being ready to shoot, not being in a scoring mindset. Like, if you're not ready to shoot, you're not in a scoring mindset, how are you going to make open shots when it's time for you to score? If you're not even mentally ready to score. Will says the SEC was a beast this year. Looking forward to playing different teams who have not played us. We are primed for a run. Dalton and a dude needs to take it to the hoop and we'll be fine. I agree. Here we go, man. Here we go, Ben. Woo! Oh, man. My nerves already acting up, man, just thinking about March Madness in the postseason. Already acting up. Oh, man. Whew. Ben, I know you're on baby watch. Tennessee plays tomorrow. And keep doing your thing. He covering the Vols. What you want from Dead End, man? You want a Mac Attack? Bernie Mac?
I told George on Tuesday I want a sampler of everything. I'll take a little bit of the Bernie Mac, the Mac Attack, a little bit of the sausage and cheese plate. I need some wings, the dry rub wings mixed in there. Some tachos. The wifey loves tachos. I need a little pulled pork for the wifey as well. I need some mac and cheese for Knox.
Y'all having a baby, man. You ain't on your deathbed. I ain't doing all that.
Which is why I think I should be accommodated.
I ain't doing all that, man.
Look, what I want a big old pan. I want half of it to be a Bernie Mac, and I want the other half to be a Mac Attack.
Listen, man. Tell me your order. Tell me Knox's order. Tell me Savannah's order. That's what you do. I'm not ordering the whole menu, Ben. We're not doing a sample from the whole menu.
Why not?
Because
and don't forget the Nantner pudding.
You're having a kid, man. You're not on your deathbed. That's why. It's just easier for me just to take you over. So that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do.
Nantner pudding. Just don't forget the Nantner pudding.
I won't forget that. All right, Ben. Tuesday, same time. More than likely, we will.
Well, we'll see, because football practice is next week, and during Monday, but also during Tuesday and Thursday's show as well. So we'll have some football to talk about, and I might have a baby by then, obviously, but if no baby by then I may have to do the show from the football complex somewhere.
Yeah. We'll play by ear, man. Swain and Vent will be here. We'll play by ear on how it will look. But we'll be here. And I hope you are too with us. If you missed any part of the show, go and check out the podcast. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. For Ben McKee, I'm Jason Swain. Peace and much love. We are out.